Hi everyone, and welcome to Keyframe, the Geek Show's dedicated animation podcast. My name's Rob, and joining me today for a discussion about all things animated is Tucky.
Hello.
How are you doing, Tucky?
I'm alright. It's a nice refreshing feel around New Year's been ringing and all that, and we're moving forward into new and bigger, brighter things.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
I don't mean sound sarcastic when I say it. it's just my natural sarcasm even through. But I generally do mean everything's looking all rosy and bright and shiny.
Okay, so what are we doing today? What are we talking about?
Animation. You have animated review, I believe?
Yeah, I do. But before we get to that, we can look ahead to the coming year of animation.
Yeah, it's it is January, and we are looking forward to a whole winter season going forward, and hopefully a good spring season. But lots of changes in the landscape of anime and animation.
I think with the winter season and the new year, a couple of things really sprung to my attention. Number one was Mob Psycho Season 2. I am a big fan of Mob Psycho. I think I actually prefer Mob Psycho to One Punch Man. I think One did a much better job with Mob Psycho than he did with One Punch Man. And so Season 2, really been looking forward to that. And then you got a couple of other big second seasons. Kakegurui got a second season.
Yep. I don't know, is Goblin Slayer getting a continuation straight away? Or...
I don't know. Dead to Live got a third season.
Yeah, anything's possible.
also, they brought back Boogie Pop Phantom.
Ah.
Yeah,
that went under my radar.
Yeah, I know. It just flew under a lot of people's radars. I can't remember if it's an actual full-on remake or a full-on reboot of Boogie Pop, but I was surprised. Quintessential Quintets got an anime, which is out this season.
Is that the one where he teased like a tutor to Quintuplets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Quintuplets, Quintets, Quintuplets, I can't remember. Quintessential Quintuplets, that's it. Do you know what was the biggest surprise for me, though, coming out this season?
Go on.
Dororo, which you've still got my copy of.
Do I?
Yes. Tezuka's Dororo.
It'll be somewhere.
The big manga volume.
Oh! Yes, I now know where it is. It's on my shelf.
Yeah, Dororo got an anime adaptation.
Ah.
Yeah.
I've been going for more of what the streaming services have been hyping up. Tell you what about the streaming services, though. There's a lot of movement there as well. Well, the Crunchyroll Funimation divorce, and now everybody's jumping into bed with everyone else.
Yeah. Oh, another big season two. Kimono Friends season two.
Yay.
Yeah, I know. wow.
I think the continuing Reincarnated as a Slime as well.
Well, yeah, that's continuing, but Piano of the Forest, Piano no Mori.
Yeah.
I actually reviewed the film version of that years ago. I can't remember which year it was out, but the year it came out, I reviewed the film version of that. It was around the same time I was reviewing like the likes of Nodame Cantabile and stuff. I never thought they'd actually do a full-on series, but they did years later, and it caught me by surprise.
It's that's got me through Christmas, actually, because I was looking for things... And Donna was also looking for like series, and we're on Netflix. And because we watched Your Lie in April, and we love like the music, like series, like Kids on a Slope and whatnot.
Have you watched No Damn It?
I haven't.
Why? Why does nobody listen to me and watch No Damn It?
It's not a case of not listening. It's just I'm very busy.
I've told you so many times. Screw the new stuff. Just go and watch No Damn It. Do it tonight, after we've finished recording.
I can't, I've got things. I've had to start a Discord server up.
Just watch the first episode. Watch the first episode.
I'll make a note of it then. And I will actually watch it. Because I am looking for new things.
Nodame is not new thing, but Nodame is brilliant thing. Noda Megumi is a brilliant character. She's weird and eccentric and stalkerish for the main character. But the main character is also weird and eccentric and stalkerish in certain ways.
Yeah.
Nadami is a bit mad, but in a good way. I mean, she's basically a music student. She's a genius pianist. She's a genius player of the piano. But when she was a kid, she had an incident with her piano teacher and ended up biting his hand, and then he threw her and she smacked her head off a wall. And ever since then, she's hated the formal side of music. But now she's going to an actual music academy, a proper music university, where they're trying to be formal, but she's in, like, the special class.
All right. So the crazy genius angle.
Yes. Crazy genius who is brilliant at the piano, brilliant at music, but not very good at looking after herself. As her next-door neighbour, who is also the love interest, finds out. Because he is OCD. As in, he likes his place spotless. Not a speck of dust anywhere. Whereas her, there's bags of trash everywhere. There's something that's supposed to be cream stew, but is black.
All right. So it sounds like most creative types.
Yeah, she is like most creative types. They're both like most creative types, but Karakuri Circus is continuing on. If you haven't been watching that, yes, I know it's a bit rushed, but it is definitely worth it.
Surprisingly, actually, have you seen the Crunchyroll What Everyone's Watching? Where the end of the year, it's pretty much like what Pornhub does.
Yeah.
With where they give you where and what's being watched and the location of like what's being watched most. And the thing that surprised me, or should I say, it shouldn't have surprised us as much, is that Boruto is still really popular. But it is huge in Europe and most of Asia, which was quite surprising considering like the likes of Goblin Slayer and whatnot came out.
Yeah, but the reason why Bart is still popular is because of Naruto. Have you watched that How It Should Have Ended with Detective Pikachu?
No, I haven't.
It's brilliant because it touches on one particular thing, the nostalgia bit. You've got Batman talking to Pikachu in the cafe, and you've got Superman. He's like, what is the Pikachu doing here? And he's like, this is Detective Pikachu, is Batman saying this? And like, and Batman and Pikachu are talking to each other, and Batman's saying, you know, he wants to be a great detective, so he's come to the world's greatest detective. And Superman's just kind of, what? And then Batman points out that the whole point of Detective Pikachu is not that it's something new or original, it's just that it's something familiar, so what they're doing is playing on people's nostalgia in an effort to make more money.
That's working.
And yeah, and he says, everybody falls for it. Everybody falls for it all of the time. And to prove that, they have Deadpool walking by, holding up Fred Savage, doing the Lion King theme tune, you know, that one. And Superman's going, oh, it's that guy from that thing that I used to watch when I was a kid, The Princess Bride. I'm definitely watching that film. Oh, yeah. Crap.
Well, it's working for the world, and well, it's always interesting to see like these statistics of what people watch and where they watch. It's kind of like an invasion of privacy, in a way. It's kind of like Crunchyroll's putting your dirty business all over the internet.
I wouldn't say it was an invasion of privacy, but
I know that's to the extreme of it. I'm not saying that Crunchyroll are in league with Vladimir Putin, and they're not like interfering with elections allegedly. Or I would like that. Oh, me Diet Coke's here. Thank you. Sorry. That previous discussion there.
One of the ones that I thought was a bit of an odd duck from the winter season was this Radiant.
Yeah, it got quite a big push, actually. Most of the English dub cast were really, really pushing it hard.
I watched a few episodes of it, and I could see why there was such a pushback from the fans. I know that a lot of people were saying, oh, it's like this or it's like the other. It's not very good. I think it's all right from what I've seen, but I haven't seen enough to make a full judgment, and it's continuing on for the whole season. It's got like 21 episodes or something like that. It was an odd number of episodes, I know. That was the first thing I noted about it.
See, I haven't watched it. Like, see, I've been stuck with a piano in the forest for most of the winter. And
well, you know, pianos are heavy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
That was a grand joke.
Other things that are coming out this year that I am definitely watching. Right at the top is something I've been waiting for a while. And it still has one of the best opening themes, as far as I'm concerned. I'm hoping they bring back the opening theme. But Chihaya Furu, I have been waiting for that for ages. For ages, 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 ages. I mean, season 2 of Chihaya Furu was out in 2013, so it's now 6 years since the third season.
You say, when you say 6 years, it can seem like a long time to most, but like a short time to others.
Thing is, it's a long time when you look at the cycle of anime these days, because you'll have the sequel to a series coming out within a couple of years of the original. But Chihaya Furu had a very successful first and second season and then just dropped off the radar completely. Chihaya Furu, I have sung its praises for a long time. This is one of the reasons why modern fans annoy me a little bit. They don't look back through the back catalogue of anime at other things. They only look for what's popular.
That's social media, isn't it? You want to talk about what's new and what's controversial and, you know, anything that will get a bit of a reaction. Promised Neverland is finally out.
Yeah, Promised Neverland. Other things that are coming out this year, Meiji's grandson, Kenjan Omago. I've read the light novel of that and it's all right. Fruits Basket is coming back and I am personally happy about that.
It was a sound anime to start with, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of upgrade it's had.
I want it to have an upgrade, but I want it to retain the humour that it had in the original series. I mean, the one who was the Zodiac of the Snake, he's still one of my better shoujo jose male characters, because he's just so flippant and just so off the wall. He's brilliant.
They're bringing the old dub actors in there, the old dub for it, or they're going for a whole new cast. I can't remember saying anything about it.
I honestly don't know. I wish I could tell you, but
not just that, because they had this whole thing with when Netflix have bought the rights to Evangelion.
Yeah.
And the original voice actors are like, you know, bring back the original cast, and a few others are throwing the hats in there. Yeah. Well, name in the hat, I should say.
One Punch Man, Season 2, is coming out this year. But the one that's caught me by surprise, right, the one that I thought, what? Was Attack on Titan Season 3, Part 2.
Why can't they just call it Season 4?
That's my point. Why not just do it all together as one Season 3 and then do Season 4?
Hey, this is the thing, because it seems to be the way the world's going. I sound like an old man ranting now, but it's when the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
When they wanted to draw something out to make more money, and they did, like, Harry Potter, Philosopher's Stone, Chamber of Secrets, what was the third one? Prisoner of Azkaban, and then the fourth one. And then, like, on the fifth one, and the Half-Blood Prince, like, Half-Blood Prince Part 1.
Yeah.
Half-Blood Prince Part 2. Yes, obviously the books were really big and thick by then, because J.K. Rowling actually had to do work. But, you know, why split one movie into two? Why not just bring the whole thing out?
That's something you'd have to ask Peter Jackson himself with The Bloody Hobbit.
Yes, that as well. What's going on with it? You know, I mean, I know there's money to be made, then make the money. But by God, stop stretching it. It's starting to go over in anime, like we're saying. Attack on Titan Season 3, Part 2.
Yep.
I mean, when they were a bit like Season 1, Part 1, Subsection A.
Aye, I know. But anyway, just a few other things. A few of the things that have been confirmed for this year. Dr. Stone, which is currently one of Mark's favourite manga.
And the thing is, he goes on about it, and it's got me interested.
Dr. Stone's not bad. I actually quite enjoy it. It's just Boichi I don't trust.
I've only just started reading it, because I found out Shonen Jump's just released the app where you can read any chapter for like £2 a month.
Yeah.
So I'm instantly like, yay. And Dr. Stone was like the first thing that I read because of Mark's recommendation. And it's an interesting premise.
It is an interesting premise. The actual story itself is by Riichiro Inagaki. The artist is the person I don't trust in this, because the artist is Boichi. And if you've seen any of his other stuff, like Sunken Rock or Wallman or things like that...
I haven't.
You haven't read Sunken Rock?
No.
The way he depicts female characters, for example...
Go on.
It's more hentai than anything else.
Ah.
Yeah. Obviously, certain things are blurred out to make it just like fan servicey instead of full-on hentai, but the intention is there. Anyway, other things that are being confirmed for this year. The 14th One Piece movie, Stampede. No details about that yet.
Oh, they keep going, though, don't they? And actually, interesting enough, news just out that he's looking to finish it within the next 100 chapters or so.
What, the whole One Piece?
Yeah, the whole of One Piece. And because he came out and he said that, and then they were like, oh, but what if a fan guesses your ending? And he's just going, oh, well, I'll just change the ending then, won't I?
Yeah.
He really doesn't want anyone to know the ending. And you've got to admire that kind of like dedication to it. But,
yeah,
you know, if somebody randomly guesses, then you can't fault them for being like psychic or something.
I wouldn't say they were psychic. I'd say they got lucky. But yeah. At the end of it, One Piece is that good. It's good enough for people to want to speculate about how the story is going to progress. That's the long and short of it. And I think that's a testament to Oda's ability to tell a story. Anyway, going back to this year, other things that are due out this year, Arifureta gets its anime debut this year. You know, that one where I said the story itself wasn't bad, but it was just absolute total otaku bait.
All right.
From the weakest job to the world's strongest.
All right.
It's basically set the tone for a lot of the isekai things that came afterwards.
I wish that was still in the era of isekai now.
We haven't left it yet.
Yeah.
My God.
It seems to keep going.
Seriously, people don't realize just how much isekai stuff there is and how much we'll probably get an anime adaptation. I could actually give you an idea of just how much isekai stuff there is.
I don't know. Is the one of being reincarnated in another world as Jesus Christ? Because I know they've done a Yamcha one.
No, I think they'll avoid that one.
It's got a comedy element to it. Not saying I'm working on it because sacrilege and don't want to pick off the wrong people.
Let me give you an idea of some of the isekai ones that will probably get an anime. Farming Life in Another World will probably get an anime.
Sounds quaint.
An Ideal Lazy Life will probably get an anime. Maybe with a mature rating, but it will probably get an anime. Different World Hospitality Meals may get an anime because it does deal a lot with food porn. Cooking with Wild Game will probably get an anime because, again, food porn thing. Gourmet Adventure of the Legendary Tamer, again, food porn, isekai, blend them together, you've got a winner.
I'm noticing a theme.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that one about the mum with her two-hit attack, that one will probably get an anime, I reckon.
Yeah. So that's another one that Mark's been there.
Yeah. Reincarnated as a Villager, The Strongest Slow Life will probably get an anime. Otherworld Nation Founding Chronicles will probably get an anime. Eighth Son, I don't think so. Not sure about that one. Not sure about that one. It might get an anime. I'm not sure. Watenya Senki, that one I'm not sure about either. Record of the Watenya War, I'm not sure about that one either. In Another World, I'm Called the Black Healer. Again, another one I'm not sure about. Otherworld Torch Princess, probably won't.
It's got a title like it would.
Yeah, it's got a title like it would, but it probably won't. Reincarnated as a Sage in Another World, that one will probably get an anime. You see what I mean? I'm a Villager, so what? We'll probably get an anime. What you might see is this trend, the food porn ones, that genre is there.
Yeah.
But what you're probably going to see, especially once Arafureta raises its ugly head. Because Kenji Nomago, Meiji's grandson, that one is a bit of an odd duck, as far as I'm concerned. But once Arafureta appears, you're probably going to get this trend of the whole weak to strong, or the character who's supposed to be the weakest becoming the strongest. So you're going to get a lot of these, oh, they're a villager, or a level 999 villager, or whatever. They're all going to start appearing as anime, because you'll get this trend of the weakest character becoming the strongest being in the world.
Yeah. The overpowered underdog.
Yeah. Where will the old man who was hurled into another world go? Hero of God Eye, which is basically about a guy who fights using a wooden log.
So when you say log, not just a stick, but an actual...
A log, yes. There are others. I was a sword when I reincarnated. I reincarnated as a hot springs. Kuma bear, which is about a girl who gets taken over to another world, and when she's basically just in normal clothes, she's a normal person. But when she puts on a bear outfit, she is OP.
Hang on, wait. So she puts on a bear costume and she becomes a bear?
No, it's basically a cute... You know, like bear pajamas?
Yeah.
It's like that, and she has bear gloves. One black, one white. And everything is related to bears. And you don't know why it's related to bears. It never bothers explaining why it's related to bears. It just is. So deal with it.
So did you see New Game Part 2 or New Game Plus or Season 2 of New Game?
No, I didn't.
Right. So they're creating a game which sounds exactly like that.
Yeah. This one probably won't get an anime. I won $4 billion in a lottery, but I went to another world. That one I'm not sure about because it's a bit similar to Arch Enemy and Hero, and there was a massive backlash against that one. A Wild Last Boss appeared. That one will probably get an anime. Chronicles of My Adventures in Another World with Kawazu-san probably won't get an anime, even though it can be very funny. X-Strongest Swordsman Longs for Magic in Another World. I haven't reached the end of this list yet. There are more. I reincarnated in an otome game as a villainess. I'm a spider, so what? Mushoku Tensei won the most famous isekai series of all. A Wonderful Adventure in Another World. They say I was born a king's daughter. The reincarnated prince wants to slack off. I became the demon lord, so I created a dungeon and spent fluffy time with all the new people. I opened a cafe in a different world.
So you can't fault the creativity of the titles, but there's got to be a point where the viewing public get absolutely sick of the same premise.
Thing is, there are certain titles that I would love to see made into anime. Just off the top of my head, Common Sense of a Duke's Daughter. I would love to see that get an anime adaptation. I think the whole isekai genre, one of my main problems with the isekai genre is it's very, very focused on catering to male fans.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a lot of harems.
Well, not just even that. I mean, a lot of male leads. How many female leads do you see in isekai?
None.
See what I mean?
Maybe. I'm sitting thinking hard about it as well, and unless you, well, say most of them were reincarnated from male.
Yeah, there are gender bender ones,
yeah.
Which is that a Wild Lost Boss appears. That's basically a gender bender one. If I was going to choose a good female lead, I'd go for something like Ascendance of a Bookworm or Common Sense of a Duke's Daughter. Two very, very good light novels with very good manga adaptations.
But will they ever see them make that transition to anime?
I wish they would. I wish they would. The isekai genre has a lot to offer. There are some great titles out there that are basically isekai or reincarnation. Chronicles of Primordial Wars is a great title. A Saint's Magic Power is Omnipotent is alright, actually. Second Coming of Avarice has actually started off really well, but it's Korean, so it probably won't get one. The God-Slaying Hero and the Seven Covenants is a very odd isekai title, and a lot of people probably aren't familiar with it. But I'll tell you something, it's surprising at how in-depth it is and how much great world-building there is in it. the whole idea is the Seven Covenants are basically seven other people who were summoned from the real world to this other world. And there's an eighth one with them. He's the god-slaying hero. But out of all of them, the other seven are all overpowered. He's the only one of them who actually is human, as in completely human. But he's also the only one out of all of them who's beloved by all the gods, because he's completely human.
Yeah, right.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is a very unusual take on the whole isekai thing, where it's not the overpowered person who the gods love, it's the person who basically didn't get any gifts. And again, that one, if they thought about it, they might actually look at doing something with that, but it probably won't get it unless it gets a manga adaptation for, which I highly doubt it will.
You never say never. Well, but I'd say it's a very oversaturated genre. And
if they were going to make a move away from isekai, right, do you know what I'd go for? I'd go for video game.
That's actually a big one. Back on Netflix over Christmas,
High Score Girl got a good response.
It was a huge, like, it was a big homage to Street Fighter 2. But it was, like, amazing to see them, like, actually putting that, like, it was someone's childhood in, like, the 90s. And, like, you get to see the progression of his life and, like, how he interacts and, like, this other girl that he likes. And she had no speaking parts as well. Which is fantastic. I love it when they do that. Like, she's not, like, exclusively a mute, but it's never said, like, oh, she has mutism or anything like that. But, you know, it plays it perfectly, or, like, on expressions and body language and whatnot. And the video game stuff just enhanced it. I think it was Mark who was saying that. That's what we wanted from gamers.
Yeah.
Instead of gamers turned out to be, like, a teen... romantic comedy, whereas it did have romance and comedy in it, but it was heavily focused on the gaming end of it.
Yeah. With those, I would love to see more stuff like The King's Avatar and High Score Girl. King's Avatar was great because it was looking at esports from the competitive angle. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't.
I think you would really like The King's Avatar. You should definitely watch it. It's Chinese, right? But it is definitely worth watching, especially with the rise of esports. It's one of the ones where they basically got it pretty bang on about esports. You know, it does deal a lot with the actual game that they're playing, so it does have a lot of fantasy action scenes and stuff like that, but it's purely set in the real world. But on the back of that, you've got others that, I mean, there's the rise of virtual reality. And so on the back of that, you've got the ones that I've mentioned loads of times. A certain middle-aged man's VR MMO activity log, for example, which you and I both read, the manga.
Yeah.
And it's adorable, isn't it?
Heartwarming.
It's the way that I play RPGs. I just wander around doing my own stuff and, you know, MMORPGs, I should say. And if it was a VR MMO, I do not see me being any different.
Yeah, it's just mundane tasks and that. It's like, nobody expects you to do them, but it's fun just to do normal tasks.
Yeah. On the back of that, I would say the legendary Moonlight Sculptor, which is still, even now, one of the biggest VR MMO novels in the world. And I know loads of people in the West will disagree and go, what about Ready Player One? Well, you know what? Ernest Cline nicked a bunch of ideas from Korean novels like The Legendary Moonlight Sculptor. So, ha.
Oh, it was a bit of a naff movie. I'm all for nostalgia now and then, but that was just like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're obsessed with things that happened 70 years ago, is it? We're not obsessed with World War II. Other video game or VR novels that could possibly work. I know Only Sense Online actually has a manga adaptation which has been reasonably well received, and it has a character who is effectively gender-bent because the character is male, but in the game is female, even though the game is supposed to map them accurately, but he has certain feminine qualities.
Yeah.
So the game has mapped him as a female, and he's basically doing his own thing in the game. Arc, which is kind of Legendary Moonlight Sculptor Light, But the one that I would love to see, and the one that I know I will never see animated, and it's such a shame because it is one of the manliest and kind of old school hero or old school heroic video game based stories that I've read. Technically, it is an isekai story, but it is definitely video game, VRMMO. Praise the Orc. It's a Korean story, right? And all I can say to anyone else out there who's listening who has read Praise the Orc, Bultar. That's all I'm going to say.
I have no idea what you're on about, but...
You should read Praise the Orc.
I'll give it a chance.
So imagine you have a VRMMO world, like World of Warcraft, but imagine in this world, orcs are basically treated like monsters because the game designers, they weren't happy with the way orcs turned out. Now imagine somebody, they used to be a soldier and everything like that, and they were trained quite heavily to be a soldier, and they were trained in certain ways. They were trained not to leave people behind, to honor and respect their families, stuff like that. Trained in positive things, trained to be a good person, right?
Yeah, good social skills.
Well, I wouldn't say good social skills. I'd say they were trained to be a good person.
Good manners.
Good manners, do the right thing, that sort of thing, right? Now imagine they chose to play as an orc in this game. A race that's hated by everybody.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so just going back, because we kind of gone off topic a little bit. Back to something else that started during the winter season.
Mm-hmm.
Which was Rise of the Shield Hero, or The Rising of the Shield Hero, which honestly sounds more like a porn title. That's why I just call it Rise of the Shield Hero, because that makes sense, okay?
It's one that we've spoke about before.
We have, but it's causing a bit of a knee-jerk reaction.
It is, and it's one of these modern-day things where people like to... I don't know if it's like they like to take their analysis, stick an opinion on it, add a little bit of offence, and then put their opinion out there. So they know they cause debate on it. It's a few parties online, and I don't think it's doing the anime justice, but it's part of like a more wider issue in anime, especially among the community and reviewers, where people like to pick faults and take a moral high ground as such without like giving stuff a chance. And Shield Heroes now, one of those series that's been a victim of it. And
I mean, what were some of the other titles that were a victim of it?
There was that new Crunchyroll one that they were going to make.
Which one?
And that caused outrage. I can't remember the name of the title, Savers, but Crunchyroll decided, you know what, we'll make an anime. And in their promotion of said anime, they promote the fact that a lot of the staff were female, and that a lot of like the creation, it's more equal and very diverse, like behind the scenes, and that caused controversy because people do the whole, "Oh, you're pushing your diversity onto us. We don't care about diversity." And in one way, I feel that yes, you should promote yourself as diverse, but don't be so direct and in your face about it, because if you're watching anime, what people want is, what's the anime about?
Yeah.
Rather than look at how diverse and how like colourful we are, be like, look, here's the anime. And then when people go, oh, I like that, and then you got, you know, it was like the majority of the studio was actually female. And then everyone go, oh, all right. But that was one of them. It's kind of like, you know, the Ghostbusters, the female Ghostbusters thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm outraged that women are doing this, so... With Rise of the Shield Hero, the main argument that I've seen online is in the initial first like start of the series, he is accused of rape. Naofumi, the main character, is accused of rape, falsely accused, it should be added, by one of the female characters. And that has wound people up no end, because, you know, there's a lot... I don't know why, But a lot of people have got the back up about it.
But, okay, he's falsely accused of rape, that I'm familiar with. I know the whole storyline behind it. Thing is, having read the entirety of the books, right, I actually know the entirety of the storyline and the whole reason why, right at the beginning, he's accused of rape in the first place, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's the same with me. I'm very familiar with where this series goes.
Are you reading the manga or have you read the novels?
It's the manga I've been reading.
Okay, then it's let me say this. The Church of the Three Heroes is only the tip of the iceberg. It goes much, much, much worse. The whole thing with him being accused of rape at the beginning, there's a political and a social reason for that. And this is the thing that it doesn't get touched on until much later on. The social reason is to basically make him an outcast, because the Church of the Three Heroes doesn't recognise the Shield Hero.
It is a religious conspiracy.
Yeah, but the actual political reason is that the Shield Hero... This is the spoiler for those of you who haven't read the manga or haven't read the novels and are only watching the anime. So if you don't want to know this, then stop listening now or just fast forward ahead. But the political reason is because the human countries, especially that human country, the church of that country, the Church of the Three Heroes, enforces the human first doctrine, kind of like Donald Trump's America First doctrine. And so they basically will take demi-humans and beast people and turn them into slaves. That is something that the country originally was against, and that the actual true ruler of the country, because the king isn't the true ruler, the true ruler is the queen, and she's away trying to put out fires, trying to help balance the world. The Shield Hero is revered by the beast countries.
And that was another thing, the slavery aspect of it as well.
Yeah.
But when he's bought Rafatalia, and this has upset a lot of people, this is one episode in, we know where this story goes, and we know the context. The thing is, I think it's an amazing series, and the thing is, you want to set up a villain straight from the off. You know, it might not be your cup of tea, but false rape accusation, that's what villains do.
I can understand why people would be upset at the whole false rape charge, especially with things like the Me Too movement and all the allegations of sexual assault and rape lodged at powerful men in the entertainment industry, right?
Yeah.
The Harvey Weinsteins, the Kevin Spaceys, all of these sorts of people. So I can understand, even touching on the subject of rape, it's something that is a very sensitive topic and should be rightly handled with care in the modern era. But by the same token, this series, the novels, were written well before all of these things started coming out.
That's the thing. With Shield Hero, they've took the material, and the material's been popular. This has been 2004, I believe it was.
Yeah.
When they first started. This has been out for quite a while now.
It's been out for this year it'll have been out for 15 years. So basically, people are having a knee-jerk reaction to the latest adaptation of a story that's been around for 15 years. Now, what else has been around for 15 years? What other books have been around for 15 years? Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah.
So if somebody made an anime adaptation of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, would that have the same sort of knee-jerk reaction?
Well, that's the thing. Not all these people who are detracting it because of like the whole rape angle and the slavery angle. And so, some people aren't even bothering to review it. But my issue is that the source material's been out for a while. If you're going to watch something, you can do a little research. I'm not saying that, you know, you should research everything you watch. You know, just go dive into an anime if you want. Do that.
All I'm going to say, it's kind of a counterpoint and also in support of what you're saying, Tucky, right? Mm-hmm. As somebody who's done a lot of reviews, as somebody who has and is still considered a top-level reviewer of anime and manga, because I am. Still, even now, you know yourself. The advice I've given to people for over a decade now, still the same. First things first, when you've watched something, don't immediately put your thoughts on paper, because your initial thoughts are probably not right, okay? First impressions are never accurate. They're never correct. So take a step back, give yourself a day or so, have a think about it, okay? Secondly, do your research. If you are going to be talking about this in any kind of amateur or semi-professional or professional capacity, if you're going to be putting your words out into the world about a particular thing, make sure you know what you're talking about. Do your research. Because at the end of the day, if you have a valid point to make, then the best thing that you can do is back it up with solid arguments and solid reasons why. So you need to know, where did this come from? How did this start? How, you know, was it simply slotted in? Was it part of the original story? You need to know things like that. I mean, if it was a case where the whole rape incident in Shield Hero was something that they included as an anime-only thing,
yeah,
I could understand people have a right to be angry, okay? I'm not saying that people shouldn't be angry at the inclusion of it in the story in the first place, because it is a distasteful thing to add. But how is it more distasteful than somebody being murdered or somebody having things stolen?
Well, that's one of the main points in this. Like, yes, it is an emotive subject, and it should be treated with all seriousness going forward. But when the creator makes it, and I'm not in touch with the creator, I don't know like their thought process behind it. But it was used in the context of set up a villain as a villain, and that is what they do. And it's one of those things where in this day and age, like your first rule of step back and have time to think on it. You know, throughout history, great thinkers and great people who debate usually take a long time to do so, because rational thoughts take time.
That's why
in the day and age of social media now, but everybody wants an instant reaction.
Yeah, but this is something that I've said for a long time, and I know that loads of people want me to go back to writing reviews. You've seen it yourself, Tucky.
Yep.
One of the reasons why I'm still of two minds about whether to put pen to paper again is because of the current world we live in, where everyone has a knee-jerk reaction. I don't do things that way, and I will never do things that way, and I find it distasteful to do things that way. I honestly find it offensive when I see people overreacting to something that, let's be fair, is fiction, okay? It's pure fiction.
It's a fantasy setting. It's in another world.
It's
anime.
Pure fiction. Now, I can understand people will say, oh, but it's glorifying the whole aspect of rape by including it. No, it's not. It's not glorifying the whole aspect of rape at all. It's saying that rape is such a horrible thing that he's immediately outcast at just the accusation of it. Okay?
And it's not just that. It's the effects that it had on him.
Yeah. And
that he would actually buy a slave and the anger it creates, which later plays a part further down the line as well.
It's not even that. I mean, he no longer trusts anyone, which is why he buys the slave in the first place, because he needs somebody who can actually attack. He can't. He has no attack. It actually says this in all three versions of the story. He is the Shield Hero. He doesn't have a weapon. He has a shield. He has nobody he can trust to go forward and attack. So he has no way to gain any experience in battle. He has no way to fight off these waves of monsters. So he has to resort to an extreme measure in order to survive in that world, because he doesn't know how to get back either. They're not going to let him go back. They brought him there in the first place on purpose. So all of that ties into the story. It's all part of the narrative. It's all part of how the plot is going to develop further on. And that's why I say, take a step back. Take time to breathe. Take time to process. Is this part of the story? Does it need to be part of the story? And this is one of the reasons why I keep saying, this fan service doesn't need to be there, or this thing doesn't need to be there. Because I've taken that step back and I've gone, okay, does that actually add anything to the overall story? Does it add anything to the overall enjoyment? How does it affect the world building? How does it affect all of this development? Does it affect it?
And unfortunately, people have taken it on the one episode that they saw.
You can make a judgment.
The outrage has spread, because basically we say this thing, you know, where they say like social media has certain bubbles and echo chambers and where one person can say something and their followers will just agree blindly. Actually, I saw it today because there was a Jason Momoa, the actor for Aquaman.
Yeah.
He was at a cultural event and there's video footage which was edited. He's there with his son and daughter. And I think it was his son. He had his hand over his son and he was like cuddling his two kids because he's at this like cultural event and, you know, he's very emotional. And they zoom in on his hand and his hand's just like dangling there on his son and that. And it kind of looked, because when he's moving his hand, it kind of looks like he's squeezing the chest. And they titled the video as Jason Momoa molesting a child. And that has went absolutely viral. And when taken back and used with, like, you know, the unedited clip, it's just him with his kids, like, watching a cultural event. But because that video was edited that way, it's seen from that person's point of view, because they've put the title, Jason Momoa molesting kids. Like, we're getting, you know, we're seeing messages saying this guy should hang, he shouldn't be allowed to live. That them kind of, like, emotive knee-jerk reactions. And that's kind of eating its way in anime now. And I feel like we're not going to get out of this. That this will be a feature for future animes. If they have an emotive subject, or if they have, like, you know, a powerful kind of plot line, or something happens in it that, you know, societally, you know, it's frowned upon. This will be highlighted. There'll be a magnifying glass put right on that point, and the outrage will ensue, which is what we've seen with Shield Hero, like the false accusation of rape, magnifying glass right on that outrage. And it gets clicks, it gets shares, and it snowballs from there. And it's something that I can't, you know, it's not something I want to see in the future, but I'm afraid that it's going to be something that's going to be there for definitely for the foreseeable future now.
Well, it's already there. I mean, if you look on YouTube, there's this, the whole React video thing has become an entertainment form in its own right.
I know, and it's
kind of sad that we're so starved of entertainment that we want to watch other people reacting to the things that we want to watch ourselves.
Storms and teacups.
It's sad, but you know what? I'll put it down to the growing process. I think that the audience needs to mature.
That's not to say that there's not like decent people out there, but you know, all we're saying is, with a balanced approach, whenever you see someone review an anime, and this is the thing, because this anime is new, it's been pushed by Crunchyroll. You know, personally, I've been looking forward to it. I know one of my friends, he's actually got the Shield Hero Shield tattoo on him. And with this kind of outrage around it, you know, it's kind of disheartening, because one, it'll put people off. Two, it might actually stigmatize people who want to watch it. And it acts as a deterrent for them. And it's all on this whole initial outrage, knee-jerk. And it can be damaging. It can be damaging for people, especially those like closer to the project. I mean, I'm not saying, like, you know, one or two bad reviews will harm it much, but like the ensuing outrage, it'll definitely affect some people. And I think Crunchyroll's going to get a bit of flack for even allowing it to go ahead now. I'm not going to sit here and try and give advice on it, because, you know, you do what you want to do wherever you are. Anyone listening, you know, watch what you want to watch and take in other people's views, but try and give it your own personal try. Don't try to be outraged from the off. You know, sit down, watch it. If it's difficult, then you turn it off. But, you know, watch it, give it a chance, let it stew for a bit, let like the context settle. You know, be balanced and level-headed. I know it's hard to do in this day and age, and I know I'm one of the worst offenders for going off on a rant, a nonsensical rant, more like. I'm actually trying to be, like, calm and more mature going forwards with this one, but it's just one of them things you've got to learn steadily. I mean, I'm trying personally to do such, and I would hope that the rest of the anime community as a whole would do the same. And hopefully, we might... see similar storylines in the future, which where the approach is, this has happened. You know, my initial thoughts were this, and after a bit of time and a little bit of context and understanding and research, this is now my opinion, and come to a conclusion with a little bit more than just, I'm outraged. That kind of reaction.
Anyway, let's leave the reaction stuff to one side, because we have grown on for a while about it, and probably a lot more attention than it deserves, to be honest. I'll be completely honest. I think that the whole thing with knee-jerk reactions to Storm in a Teacup, as you said, and it's something that will be forgotten about because it is on the internet, so it's pretty much guaranteed. No one's going to remember anything about the whole controversy of Rise of the Shield Hero next year.
That's on Know Your Meme, so it's somewhere for reference. But if people give it a chance, if people watch it, I think it will be a solid series. And come the Anime Awards next year, it should be featured at least in the nominations.
We'll see. We'll see. It depends. And don't forget, how many times have they tried doing these shows and how many times have I got angry with them for failing?
A lot. Knights of Magic was a highlight.
It all started off with Arch Enemy and Hero, a series that really should have been the thinking man's isekai, right? It should have been an isekai series of the upper echelons.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the actual novels and in the better manga adaptation, which has really good artwork and really great character design, which they didn't use for the anime series for some obscure reason, and my God, I hope they do a reboot that actually does the story justice. But in the novels, you have finance and science and politics and war and strategy, you know, military strategy and tactics. All of them go hand in hand in this fantasy season, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an isekai series, but it's an adaptation of a light novel, and it really made me angry that they failed to do it justice. I mean, they made the Demon Queen to be just this vapid, dumb female character who was completely obsessed with the hero. And that's not her character at all. Yes, she is attracted to the hero. Yes, she sees the hero as her equal. Possibly the only person in the world who is her equal. But also, she wants to see an end to the war between demons and humans. She wants to see an end to all of it. But she doesn't have the power to do that on her own.
Well, that's all that gets me, probably.
Yeah, and Knights of Magic. Knights and Magic and Death March. Let's not. Yeah,
Death March was pretty upset about.
It made me angry. Made me very angry, that one. Knights and Magic in particular made me angry though, because that series had a lot of potential as well. Anyway, we do have a couple of anime to talk about, or rather, I do. So I'm going to quickly get those out of the way because really, there's not a lot I can say to add to them. I'm going to be talking about Higurashi no Naku Koro ni Kai and Koro ni Re, which is the second season and the third season / OVA type thing of Higurashi, or When They Cry, or When Cicadas Cry. So, anyway, we go back to the village of Hinamizawa. The year this starts off in is 2007, and ironically enough, Series 2 came out in 2007, so it's a weird irony, but it works. So anyway, it starts off with someone going to visit the abandoned village where all the action took place in the first series. And they're going to visit it after the great Hinamizawa disaster that decimated the town. And they all also want to investigate the connection between the great disaster and Mia Takano's file, number 34. Rena Ryugu is still around. She survived the disaster because she was detained by police during the incident, and she shares a little bit of the knowledge that she knows about Rika and her strange behaviour just before all of the things happen. Now, Rika is the girl who lives at the temple. She's basically like a shrine maiden type thing, and then it goes back in episode 2, back to 1983, and you have all of the kids together, and they're playing a game of zombie tag, and everything like that. And as the story progresses, Satoko and Rika, Rika is starting to get more and more depressed. And Satoko, who is her best friend and also around her age, she's worried about Rika. She doesn't know what's going on. And Rika's getting more and more depressed. Satoko starts getting paranoid. She thinks that someone's following her. Satoko is at home and she set up all sorts of traps. And she hears some of the traps getting set up, so she escapes the house. because she's convinced that someone's trying to kill her. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like Higurashi all the way through? Somebody's trying to kill me. I'm getting paranoid. Somebody's trying to kill me. I'm getting paranoid. Oh, no, they're actually here. They're trying to kill me. I'm not paranoid. They are definitely out to get me, so I'm going to get them first. And so Satoko escapes her house, goes to Rika, and Rika hides her and gets taken away and killed instead of Satoko. And then Satoko is a witness to the great Hinamizawa disaster, goes into a catatonic state, and as she's coming out of it, the people who killed Rika kill her. Now, that I'm going to leave, because that's basically the first arc of what is basically a second long series. And I've just done it in brief. Because after that, you find out all sorts of other stuff, and you find out more about Rika's strange behavior, and you find out more about what's actually going on, and the reason why Higurashi is kind of a shock horror anime version of Groundhog Day.
That's kind of a murder mystery one, isn't it?
It is. It's a shock horror anime version of Groundhog Day. That's the best way to describe it.
The brutal scenes, I remember, actually made the rounds as like memes.
Yeah.
Quite a while back. And it has that reputation of like, wow, you got to see how brutal this is. And yeah, I mean, like, I've only seen clips of it, but it does look pretty gory.
It is gory to a degree, but it's not the goriest thing I've seen. It's not the most brutal thing I've seen. It depends on what you define as brutal. I mean, with the second season, it does a great job of explaining what is actually going on. A much better job than season one, let's be fair, because season one was just... it was all Fruit Loops, but it was still kind of fun. Season two, it's a lot better at closing off the story, but still there are loose ends that need to be tied up and don't get tied up. There are still holes in the plot. The character development is very bitty. You know, there's a little bit here, there's a little bit there, but it's never kind of uniform. It's never... None of the characters are actually pushed forward and made to grow and develop into newer, better, or worse versions of themselves. Because development doesn't mean just to get better as a person. It means that you can get worse. None of the characters are particularly well realized in the first place. And having watched a video recently about character development versus character growth, I just want to point out, they're both the same thing. What you mean is characterization versus character development.
It was really a video, character growth versus character development.
Yeah, I can't remember who did it. I think it was some guy responding to Super Eye Patch Wolf or something like that. And I just want to point out, character development, character growth, they're both the same thing. So
I need to get my thesaurus.
Well, what is development? Growth. What is growth? Development. The clue is in the words.
So some things tickle us, and that's one of the things that kind of tickle us.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but you went to school to learn English for a reason. Anyway, moving on to Ray. So Ray is basically an OVA. It's only 5 episodes long. And it's comprised of 3 chapters, I'd say. So it starts off with the embarrassment chapter, which is, you know, you've got Keiichi who's borrowing a pair of trunks from Mian's uncle because he forgot his shorts. Yada, yada, yada. I think this is the episode where they had to do an episode where they had a little bit of fan service in there just to shut people up. And I think this is the one that they did. And then they've got the dice killing chapter 1, which is another viewpoint on what's actually going on in Higurashi. And then you've got the daybreak chapter, which again is all about Keiichi. And it's all about Rena, who accidentally swallows one of the mysterious Fuwazaru Magatama, which falls from the sky and begins acting lovesick.
Oh, I know about Magatamas.
Yeah. So, they're a little bit more of a fun look at things, but the main meat of it is season 2. Looking back on Higurashi, in terms of the production, it's not the best. It has aged a little bit. The character designs are basically what you'd expect from season 1. Nothing really been updated on that since it's a direct sequel. or rather, the first episode is a direct sequel, or a direct epilogue, I should say, because it is more of an epilogue. But then the second episode is back into the same time period that Higurashi Season 1 takes place in, 1983, or thereabouts. With regards to every other aspect of it, the voice acting, the music, well, all of the audio aspects, I should say, they're actually not bad. The voice acting, I think, is a lot better in Season 2 than it is in Season 1. And I think part of that is because the actors and actresses have actually had a chance to get used to their roles. They're a lot more confident in their delivery. And you notice this as well when you get voice actors working on more than one season of a particular show. You'll notice in the first season, they may be a little bit unsure of themselves for a good portion of the show, but by the time it comes to the second season, they're actually playing around with the characters in ways that they never did in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
The second season, I've got to say, okay, there are holes in the plot, characters aren't the best, but it's still enjoyable. And I'll say that Higurashi, it's exactly as I said it was in my review of the first season. It's that psycho lolly anime that everyone says you should watch, but you haven't got round to yet.
That literally is what it is.
And it remains that. It remains firmly that. I know that some people can talk about School Days, and some people can talk about Madoka, some people can talk about whatever other anime you would care to name, Gakko Gurashi or whatever, it doesn't matter. That particular title, that psycho lolly anime that everyone says you should watch but you haven't got around to yet, that will always remain with Higurashi.
People should actually be forced to watch it.
I think people should be forced to watch a lot of things. Anyway,
a lot.
Yeah. That, I think, is it from us for this week.
Yep.
So we will see you all next week on Keyframe, when we will have more of a normal show. But until then, you can find all of our shows on our website or on Audioboom or whatever podcast provider you choose. So if you are listening through anything like that, leave us a rating, leave us a review. It does help us with exposure. Other things you'll find on our website, thegeekshow.co.uk, are the other shows that we do on our network and all of our reviews. You'll also find our shop and our Patreon.
We have a YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, we also have a YouTube channel where you'll find all sorts of interesting stuff as well. So until next time, I've been Rob.
And I've been Tuppy.
And we will see you all later.
Goodbye.